We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley-Davidson. Online at wirthharleydavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Kelsey left.
What?
Back and hips. Just a little tight.
Okay!
Listen, I feel good rushing off the edge, okay? Listen, hey, I know it's year six. I'm a little old. I'm a veteran in the room, but I feel so good rushing off the edge.
This offseason was big for me. That was, like I said, in interviews before, I was, you know, working on hands, working on routes, because I knew that was something that's going to be kind of pinpointed this training camp.
Came up here on the first day. I grabbed a Popeye's chicken sandwich, 3 chicken strips, a biscuit, fry, and a 12-count nugget, and I still weigh like 292.
And now, fresh off his silver medal in the individual all-round, I won the gold, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a busy Thursday. We are on the road and at one of my favorite places. It is my home hen house, one of my two home hen houses. Oftentimes we come to you from 135th and Metcalf. Today we're at 119th and Row, the 119th and Row location, where you can come down and take advantage of great specials throughout the wonderful, beautiful store. I think this is the most beautiful grocery store anywhere. It's here at 119th and Row. Of course, specials back at the meat counter, like the lean ground chuck. It's ground fresh several times each day, each and every day, by the outstanding butchers here at the hen house. 85% lean, just $4.89 a pound. How about some USDA Choice Certified Hereford Beef ribeye steaks, 8 ounces, only $8 or $15.99 a pound. And the Prairie Fresh Pork Loin Baby Back Ribs, sold in Cryback, just $4.99 a pound. Of course, they've got great seafood here as well, like the Atlantic Salmon Fillets. I'm talking about the full fillet for just $10.99 a pound. Best produce in town, the Andes Candy Corn. Corn on the Cob is here. You can take advantage of it. You know, Hen House buys more than 150 local farms supported by your neighborhood hen house markets. Been serving Kansas City since 1923, going on 98 years they've been serving Kansas City, and also the proud sponsor of our ESPY Award for the Boys High School Team of the Year. We're going to present that coming up a little bit later on here in the program. We'll play Stump the Chumps. Peter Yatsenyuk will join us. We'll get some bold and daring opinions in the 4 o'clock hour. Blair Kirkhoff live from Chiefs training camp. We'll talk Chiefs. We'll talk about the latest from the world of expansion conference realignment. We'll get that from Blair Kirkhoff as well. We'll get his thoughts on how the Big 12 tournament will look in Kansas City. Anybody giving any thought to that?
Oh boy, that's a mess. Good Lord.
You think the Big Ten, if Kansas goes to the Big Ten, is coming here? Do you think the Mountain West is coming here? Do you think the AAC is coming here? Have you enjoyed the Big 12 tournament? Because I think you've got maybe four more. Maybe four more. Three more? Two? One more? Anybody giving that any thought? The Missouri Valley. Fight for St. Louis for the Missouri Valley Tournament.
Yes.
I mean,
that's what's left.
Will be happening. Right? That's what's going to be happening. This has big impacts everywhere, including in our very own backyard when it comes to the Big 12 Tournament. So we'll talk about that with Blair Kirkhoff. And in the 5 o'clock hour, Chris Kleiman, head coach of the K-State Wildcats, will join us as Coach Kleiman getting ready for a season that I think they're going to be pretty good. I like the 5.5 over 5.5 for K-State. They're always underestimated. Bill Snyder, like Andy Reid, always a good bet to go over. And I think Chris Kleiman very much the same. Like it over K-State on the 5.5. We'll talk about the Cats, the return of Skylar Thompson, Deuce Vaughn out of the backfield, now a sophomore, all five starters – line returning, a defense that got some good transfers in to try to boost the defense, hopefully help the secondary. Got a big corner from Iowa. I like the Cats over the 5.5. I think this is the kind of team. Chris Kleiman's got himself a veteran quarterback. I think that's going to bode well for the K-State Wildcats, so we'll talk about it with Coach Kleiman. Also get his thoughts on the news that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving for the SEC. What does that mean in his mind for the K-State Wildcats? How are they positioned? We'll talk about that with Chris Kleiman, the head coach of the K-State Wildcats. That comes your way here at 5 o'clock. I will tell you, here at Henhouse, we've also are going to be drawing folks to win. We've got a couple of different beautiful coolers. We've got a folding chair, a Find Your Game Day Beach Corona folding chair for two. We've got an Adirondack chair. We've got a cool Chiefs Super Bowl 54 mirror. Got to be 21 on all items because they all have alcoholic beverages on them. So got to be 21 to register to win. Just come on down. Stock up for the weekend here at Hen House. Stop on by, say hi. Grab yourself a sandwich if you want over the delicatessen. Get the Mongolian Grill. They have the beautiful Mongolian Grill, which is absolutely one of my favorites, one of our go-tos for when we can't figure out dinner. Let's get to the Mongolian Grill. That's open until 6 o'clock here at the Hen House. So take advantage of that and come on down and get registered to win. Got going to have, what, at least five winners. At least five winners because we got two different coolers. Got a great mirror. Be perfect for your man cave. Got a great folding chair and an Adirondack chair. We're going to be giving away. It is here at Hen House, 119th and Row. Stop on by and say hello. Let's start with some Chiefs football. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Clyde Edwards-Helaire talking today. The red zone. We know it was a problem on the defensive side, but they certainly weren't able to punch it in via the run the way they wanted to in the red zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire talking after practice today, was asked what the keys are to running the ball well in the red zone.
I would mainly say point of attack for the offensive lineman. Just pretty much getting hands in the dirt, and then, you know, as far as a running back, kind of reading my keys and understanding, you know, aim and point, track and alignment for me. You know, that's beneficial in any aspect. But as far as the red zone for a running back, being pinpoint is it's the best thing that you could do because, you know, it's small margin of error, you know, in the red zone. Everything speeds up and everything's a little quicker.
Sounds pretty good.
Stands
I mean,
the reason.
I like it. I like the plan. Do they execute it? That's the question, right?
They didn't last year.
You know, I expect them to be better, right? Like,
same.
One of the things that was a little bit scary today, the talk was that Creed Humphrey was having some problems with the shotgun snaps. That's not what you want to hear coming out of practice, but I assume that they will get that worked out. And once they do, I think Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith especially, is as physical an offensive lineman as you're going to find any video on. Just absolutely, talk about finishing blocks. This kid is going to be a beast. They will be able to move people off the line of scrimmage in a much more effective manner just with those two. Throw in Joe Tooney as well. Your guard to guard, like I think Andy Reid should expect to be able to hammer the ball in. Like, you know, I like the technique talk. I like what he's saying. But the bottom line is you need people that can get a better push up front. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, is stronger than people realize, right? He's undersized at you know, 5 feet, 7 inches tall. But he's also, you know, I think thicker than people realize in the legs. You know, his strength is, you know, I think more than good enough to push it in. He put his head down and ran over guys at times at LSU. I think he'll be able to do it with the Chiefs as well. And I think, but the biggest part of the equation is going to be for that offensive line to be able to get a push. And I think when guys are in the backfield, nobody's going to be effective running the ball. And the Chiefs have really upgraded guard to guard. Orlando Brown, I think theoretically, is bigger, just physically weighs more than Eric Fisher. They should get a lot better push, and they should be able to hammer home the touchdowns, hammer home the third and twos late in games when they're needing to convert a first down to burn the clock. This team should be significantly better running the ball, or something's gone drastically wrong, right?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Sam McDowell talked about a game, it was yesterday, it was a couple days ago, that kind of got washed away because the Chiefs won the game and because Clyde Edwards-Helaire had such a great night. But that opening out against Houston, where they had so many opportunities there on the goal line and couldn't punch it through, it's if he can just get a little bit of space to operate, he's not only is he's elusive, he can change directions, and he has that lower body strength. Just give him a little bit. I'm not saying the Gale Sayers just give me 6 inches of daylight or whatever, but if he just has a crease where he can get through, he can find his way in, and you only got to do it once. And that too many times last year, and that drive was very emblematic of that. There was no room at all, and all he saw that night was dark blue hatted Houston Texans defensive lineman. Just give him a little spot, and he can get through there.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, he's Barry Sanders like in his ability to start and stop. And so if you can get down inside the five, and like you said, just give him different spots, just give him, you know, the zone blocking idea of just getting hats on hats and then let him pick his way, he's quick enough and will dart through and be able to be successful. So I'm with you. I think this should be a very good team this year running the ball overall. I don't think they should run it more because they're so effective in the past, but there are times you want to run the ball, particularly to finish off the games or when you get into short yardage distances, right? Then you want to be able to, you know, just stuff the ball down someone's throat. And I think that they're much more positioned to be able to do that. And I think the question becomes then, you know, do they go about things in a different manner because they can run the ball, and do these guys that are better equipped to run the run block, do we find out that they're not as equipped to pass block? Right? That's the big question mark with Orlando Brown. Is can he handle that straight rock back set and hammer somebody, you know, and handle somebody, I guess I should say, not hammer, but handle somebody in a pass blocking. But have they, you know, Creed Humphreys, they threw the ball all around at Oklahoma. So, yes, they can all pass block. I don't think anybody's going to be out there and we're going to go, oh, my God, this looks like they pulled a wishbone guard from Nebraska in 1974 out here. But, like, will they give up a little bit in the pass protection? And will the Chiefs be better running the ball? And will they need to rely on that more because they're not going to be as good as they were when they were healthy in the pass block? I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. But I think as fans, we need to be prepared that you went out, and I think they made a concentrated effort to get better across the board at blocking in general, but at running the football as well, and they may give up a little bit in throwing it. They may be just as dominant, win just as many games, but it might not look quite the same.
Yeah, they don't have to rely on throwing it as much. If they can run the ball effectively, they won't really need as many big plays in the passing game. I think they'll still get them. You know, the problem that you saw in the Super Bowl last year was they couldn't run or pass. The line was a complete breakdown. If they're good at the elements of it, I have pretty good faith that even if they lack a little bit in the pass blocking, the fact that the defense has to kind of be honest in those situations, and the combination of not only head coach, coordinator, and skill position players they have will be able to mitigate that to some degree.
Yeah, I think, look, there was the game, which one was it, where they just came out and they said, okay, well, they did it against Buffalo, but then there was another one where it was like, okay, they want to take away the pass. They're giving us the light box, and we're going to run it and just pound away. I think, they, you know, what you hope is they don't lose anything in pass blocking, but I am prepared that there may be some kind of drop-off there. But they don't lose anything in pass blocking, and then they turn around, and if they can run the ball, then they can play it either way. Because this team threw the ball well when teams were playing them in a nick package, because it's what they needed to do. So I think if now you get to where you can run even when they know you're going to run, and we know they can throw when the other team knows you can throw, then the offense could theoretically be back to the 18 level where you just can't stop them. They go up and down the field on everybody. And I think from that standpoint, you know, better blocking is going to mean a lot for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, both in the run game and in the pass game. Let's hear one more from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Said he plans to be more involved in that passing game this year.
It's really just being trusted. And, you know, I was, just a rookie last year. And just week in and week out, you know, they see it at practice. But, you know, when it's game time, you know, everybody kind of gets into their own rhythm. And then, you know, once Pat kind of, you know, he got comfortable, and everything was kind of sped up at the beginning of the season. So during the season, it was the time kind of to get comfortable, and then it was mask and kind of staying away from each other. So trying to even bond, you know, outside, you know, it really wasn't happening. The only time that we were able to be around each other was on the field. So, you know, it started to show towards the end of the season, but this offseason was big for me. That was – like I said, in interviews before, I was, you know, working on hands, working on routes, because I knew that was something that's going to be kind of pinpointed this training camp.
He mentioned trust right off
the
bat.
So working on the passing game, right? Getting a chance to work and with your teammates and build the trust and run the routes. Let's hear number nine, too, because he gets into something else that did and acknowledges that some of his comments kind of made a stir. He was asked about what goes into a good screen game.
The key to it is kind of, how you put it, hiding it, I would say. I was really trying to find a word, but just being discreet. And you know, for me, it's not the hardest to be discreet behind guys who, you know, 6'5" and 6'6". So, you know, just implementing the screen game more. I mean, I know you guys seen it today. We ran a couple screens and they were popping. So, as far as that, it's been going good and looking great.
I think, listen, that's one of the things that he looks like he's perfect for, is to have that screen game. Right, and be able to be super effective. He's right. He does get lost back in there behind the big offensive lineman, and his ability to dart around and make everything go, I think is the part that we all thought we were going to see last year, but didn't. You know, I'll go back to, I had a scout tell me that, you know, they said, hey, he's not Christian McCaffrey, but you could use him a lot like Christian McCaffrey. And so I think we kept waiting to see him in that passing game. And we never really saw it. And whether that was his knowledge of the, you know, the offense, his ability to get into the rhythm, the, you know, I think a lot of screen games might be option plays, where, you know, if they're blitzing, that's called off because we got to have the extra protection, and he's got to block, and maybe they didn't trust the blocking. Whatever it was, we just never saw that. That's the one thing that we know our buddy is going to see it, because he was making bets on how many yards from scrimmage Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to get, and he didn't get there.
No.
And he didn't get there largely because he didn't get the receiving numbers. And I think that is a huge part of the equation for him. And I do like, I'll double down. Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably disappointed most fantasy football people in Kansas City and even nationally, because I think there was a feeling that he was going to step in and go immediately the way Kareem Hunt did. But Kareem Hunt wasn't always super effective in the passing game that first year either. Year two, I expect him to be very productive. And let's be honest, we've talked about this pick, and I heard Bill Barnwell on the Zone yesterday saying, hey, he didn't like the pick. 32 is too high to take a running back, and that he clearly disappointed for based on where he was drafted. And I think you can make it, I would agree, right, that the first year didn't return what you'd want from pick number 32. But I don't think for the first year is going to tell the whole story on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I will double down. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be one of the best fantasy running backs out there. So I'm going to be taking him high. I'm going to be bidding on him at a high level, because I think he will take a big step forward in that passing game. And frankly, for the Chiefs, and if he does, if he has big fantasy numbers, he's going to be good for the Chiefs. Frankly, he needs to, for that pick to ultimately look like it was a good decision. And I think it comes. I mean, I think he's a smart kid.
Mm-hmm.
I love his style of running, and I think that offensive line and his second year of experience are going to unlock that. I thought what I was looking for was in that cut. It's actually in this next one. So this is Clyde Edwards-Helaire asked if he's more comfortable heading into year two.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, especially, you know, having the same offense as far as the same scheme. And, you know, I got chewed out last year for everybody, for me saying, you know, Coach Reed's playbook wasn't the hardest, but I mean, I had three different offenses in 3 years at LSU, and I mean that's just what I do, man. I'm a football player, and this is my job. You know, just like it's a doctor's job to do that job. You know, everybody critique me for doing my job, so I'm gonna come out here, learn my stuff, and do what I do.
Not backing off his comments from last year, right?
Not at all. You know, it sounded like he was going to maybe a little bit. Nope. Yeah, that's, hey, it's what I said was what I said, and it's true.
It's my job.
Yeah, it's my job.
I'm going to come out here and do my job. Learning the playbook is doing his job. He did his job last year. He's ready to go. There's going to be nuances, like the experience level of it. I think he's going to be better. You know, you might listen to that and be like, well, he doesn't think he need to get any better than last year, so why would we think his performance is going to be any better? I just think there's layers of the offense that could put on his shoulders, and I think he's going to get more of it. I think he has a big year. I think he tops 1,000 yards on the ground, and I think he delivers to the tune of 500 yards receiving. You know, I think 1,600 yards total from the line of scrimmage. I would plan on that, and I would plan on it getting to 10 touchdowns. Combination of running and receiving. I hope it's more than 10 on the ground, but I'll go 12 touchdowns. I'll say 1,000 plus, 500 plus, 1,600 plus total, and 12 touchdowns, 12 plus touchdowns. That'd be my call for what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to put up this year. I think he's going to have a big year, and I think that it bodes well for them. If they can apply the pressure offensively the way they did, I think the defense was forced into some tight games. And I don't think you want, you know, when this defense can play loose and play for big plays, I think they're going to be more effective. I expect them to be able to play from in front more often, which will make the defense better. We'll talk about Chris Jones at the defensive end, but the offensive line is going to be better. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to add another layer to this attack, and I think the offense is better this year than it was last year, and I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a big reason for it. 913-3810-810, talking Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, K-State, Missouri, KU, always a topic here in the program. We are live at Hen House. You come down, get signed up to win some great prizes. We got a couple of different coolers, a beautiful Super Bowl mirror from Super Bowl 54. Be great in your man cave. A folding two-person Corona beach chair. That would be fantastic. We got an Adirondack chair. Got to be 21 to enter because we got beer logos on this. So that means you got to be 21 to win. Come on down to the Hen House, 119th and Row, and take advantage of great, great specials. Back at the meat counter over in the Harry's Brewery, always specials on the craft beer and the national beers. In fact, Bud 24 packs, 12-ounce cans, selected varieties, just $17.99. It's at your neighborhood Hen House Market.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, we now present
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from my home hen house. You can come on down and say hello at 119th and Row. Get registered to win yourself a couple of different coolers, a cool Super Bowl 54 mirror you can check out, a folding beach chair, Corona beach chair. Also got an Adirondack chair. Registered to win it right now. Come on down. Grab yourself some dinner tonight or stock up for the weekend. We're right here by the produce. Come in the front door and turn right. You can't miss us. Say hello. And I will even hook up the next person. Let me make sure. Yes, the next person that walks in, a gift card to Hen House. I mentioned you heard it right here on the program. We'll give it to you. 913-3810-810. Got to be low-key. Got to be low-key. Want somebody who's out driving around listening. Come on in. You know, I am being tempted. Number one, we're right by the floral department. They do a fantastic job. This is where I get my flowers for my mom, for my wife. They do such a great job. So we're right by the flowers. I got that. The beautiful produce staring at me. It doesn't get any better than that. Plus the Mongolian Grill right around the corner. It's a little slice of heaven. That's what I call it. A little slice of heaven. 913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. I know Tracy waiting patiently. You're on the program, Tracy. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, my friends. Long time no hear from. I was out of town when the news broke about Texas and Oklahoma, so I immediately thought about my friend, Mr. Petro, what your thoughts would be. So can you just share to me what you were thinking? I was on vacation, and I couldn't get you, and my daughter said, Dad, you could stream it. Well, buddy, I don't know how to stream shit, I'm telling you. So I wanted to know what you thought about the Big 12, my friend.
Yeah, well, all right, so let's start with this, and I appreciate I appreciate you hollering out, and listen, it's not hard. Just download the A10WHB app, and you can get it anywhere you want. It's on your phone. It's super easy. It's how I listen. I'll be listening on my drive down to Florida, so it's very easy in how you go about doing that.
Well, I'll probably need my 8-year-old grandson to do that, man, for me, buddy, because I am not technology smart, so. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. All right. Well, get him. Have him do it for you, man. It's easy. Trust me. He'll get you set up, and you'll be ready to go. But let's talk about that. And thank you for the call, Tracy. It's good to hear from you, buddy. Let's start with this. I was surprised that it happened now, but I'm not surprised it happened. I mean, I've said this. This is not one that I'm happy to be right on. But when they you know, kept the Big 12 together and went out and got TCU and West Virginia, and everybody was excited. And they said, well, there's a grant of rights. Nobody can leave unless they got to give up their TV money. And see, the Big 12 is rock solid. I said, listen, this is a stay of execution. Like, the writing's on the wall. People are leaving, right? It's deteriorating the conference. The conference as it stands right now is not the same conference that used to have 12 teams. And they've lost four good teams. They're now down to what is going to be only six of the original Big 12s that are in there. And this has been inevitable. They fought the good fight. They held off as long as they could. I think, you know, we will look back on it and say, historically, did they all make a mistake? Would the play have been to just say, okay, yeah, we're going to take a step back on dollars today, but we're going to walk away from Texas. We're going to keep the other Texas schools, or even if the other Texas schools walked away. Would the play have been at that time to go add Utah, go add Mountain West or Mountain Time Zone schools, and try to say, listen, if we lose all the Texas schools, we lose all the Texas schools, and begin again? Maybe not. I mean, the answer may be no. They got a bigger payday for the last, you know, 10 years than they would have had they done it that way, and so this was the best that they could hope to do. But I don't think it's the end of the Big 12 schools. I think Texas and Oklahoma, you know, at least, yeah, I think it was inevitable. I think the football programs were inevitable to be poached. I think Kansas is going to end up in the Big Ten, whether it's immediately now or it's on down the road when the power leagues break away from the NCAA and wrestle away a lot of the money. All the NCAA tournament money goes to the NCAA and then gets spread out amongst every level of NCAA sports. You know, I can tell you, the MIAA schools benefit from the NCAA tournament. They're never going to play in it, but they benefit from it. I think that's a good thing. The big money teams don't, right? The big money teams want their money. They don't like making all the money and having it go to schools like Northwest Missouri State. And, you know, I can't say it's wrong. They're like, listen, we're doing all the heavy lifting. Why should the money be shared elsewhere? Okay. I think whenever they get around to doing that, then Kansas will find its way into one of the power leagues, because that brand, and I think it could be as soon as, you know, the next announcement to come will be Kansas in a power league because of its basketball program. And then I think the rest of the Big 12 schools will either collectively or divide and go towards the Mountain West and the AAC. And I think those will be good leagues. And I think if it is KU and K-State in the Mountain West or KU and K-State in the AAC, I think Kansas fans are going to find that it's easier to win football games. It doesn't cost as much to win football games. And that they're still able to be a top 25 team. They're still able to get their way into bowl games, and they will still, in a magical year, be able to find their way into. And they may be even – it may be easier for them to have those magical seasons that make their way into a 12-team playoff. I don't by any means – think that this is death for either one of those leagues. And I think you're going to hear a lot of people say those same things. The people that used to tell you when I would say, because I remember bringing it up, like, hey, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if you're in the Mountain West. Oh, my God, it's terrible. You know, you want to be in one of the power leagues. The money's so much less. And would go on and on. Are now going to start telling you, just watch, about how, no, this is a good thing and that they've always been on board for it. Just remember who said what, and you'll know who you can trust and who you can listen to in the future. You know, this has been coming and has been inevitable, as far as I'm concerned, since the day that Colorado and Nebraska walked away, right? It's been absolutely inevitable, because Texas is going to look out for Texas. OU is going to look out for OU. Every school now no longer has any interest in the overall collective good of athletics on the college level. None of them do. They don't care. And they're going to fight, and they're going to get that basketball money. They're going to pull out of the NCAA tournament in some way, shape, or form. And the landscape of college athletics will never be the same. But it never has been. Change has been the only thing you could guarantee in college athletics. And so I think it's always a shock to everybody's system. There's always panic. Everybody wants to, you know, announce it as Armageddon, the end of college athletics. It's not the end. It's just the evolution of it, which is inevitable and is going to happen. You just have to be as progressive and see as far over the horizon as you possibly can. But Kansas State and Kansas are going to be fine. They just may not be playing in the SEC or Big Ten or ACC or Pac-12 in the biggest leagues that are out there. They will survive. They will exist. And I think there's a chance that they thrive.
You said it was inevitable, and I agree, when Colorado and Nebraska left. To some extent, if you want to retrofit it and go back, Could it be possible that it was inevitable once they realized just how much they needed the Texas schools to even survive in the first place? I mean, to some extent, doesn't if the eventual death knell of this conference go back to needing to become the Big 12 originally? Is that too far back?
I think if you want to go all the way back, it goes back to when Oklahoma, and I forget the other school, sued to control their own football television rights. And when they did that and were able to get them their third-tier rights back in the 80s, that's what started. Then they realized, well, as an individual school, Oklahoma couldn't sell itself. Notre Dame was really the only brand that could do it. And they realized, but as a conference, we can. We can have success as a conference. And that's when the SEC went out and grabbed South Carolina and Arkansas. And at that point, the Southwest Conference started to crumble. So they were looking for something to boost their overall value. And I think, yeah, we can look back and say this has been an inevitable trail, really going back. I mean, the big leagues have done nothing but get bigger. Before was the Big 12, there was a Big 8 in the Southwest Conference. Before the Big 8 was the Big 7, the Big 6. You know, they were out there. It's just, you know, it would seem like if you follow the trend of what's happened, what we're headed towards is simply on a football scale, and Blair Kirchhoff, who we'll talk to at 4, we've talked about this many times, on a football scale, what we're headed to is all of these schools that are the power schools of football joining in to one major division that shares all the money, mm-hmm. right? And the question is, how many power schools are there? Are there 80, and it's going to include KU and K-State? Or are there only 16, and they all now reside in the SEC? Right? Those are the two extremes. Somewhere between those two numbers is where I think it is.
And by the way,
I don't think it's 16, and I don't think it's 80, because I don't think you can say Vanderbilt is a bigger draw than USC and Notre Dame and Michigan and Ohio State. Those brands have clout and value as well. The question is, do we get to 32, 40 teams, 64 teams? Is there some number that is the right number, and that ends up being what becomes the new Division I?
You talked about Oklahoma suing for their rights to sell their own TV contracts. It was Oklahoma and Georgia, and that was in 1982. And it was in June of 84 that the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in favor of them, as this story in the Oklahoman says, giving the war to college football and open TV market. So we're looking at 40 years ago next summer this happened.
Yeah. I mean, that was what got it going, right? That's what made it happen, is they were, you know, able to go out and sell those rights, package them together, and it's all been about the biggest check since then, you know. And I think what changed here is the fact that TV has driven college athletics. And with the announcement yesterday that the Big 12 is going to sue, put out a cease and desist order towards ESPN to stop meddling with other conferences to try to bring about the destruction of the Big 12. This is clearly, which is something that they will not do, because they're going to negotiate with the SEC about, you know, the new SEC, the SEC network, maybe a second SEC network, right? They're going to have to talk to them about that. The Big 12 is going to allege that that is them tampering with their league, and they're going to sue. This is simply just an announcement that the Big 12 is going to sue ESPN. And they may very well get a big check, but they're not going to put the genie back in the bottle. Right, ESPN's not going to go, oh, you're right, and Texas and Oklahoma go, oh, okay, that's right, we're coming back into the league. The damage is done. I don't begrudge the Big 12 from suing. Go get as much as you can, you know. But I think ESPN's looking out for ESPN. They probably overstepped their bounds. I think everybody got tired of waiting, where all this used to come about when TV contracts are up. ESPN couldn't hold its water. There's 4 years left on the Big 12, and they wanted to, you know, they're battling it out with Fox on television contracts. They're battling it out with CBS on television contracts. And instead of being patient and playing the long game, they tried to make it happen quicker, because there's an out. Yep. If Texas and Oklahoma are out of the Big 12, they don't have to pay the amount that they're paying for the Big 12. And if the league, if someone else from the league leaves, then Texas and Oklahoma no longer have to give up their television rights money.
Bruce Feldman.
And so they're trying to bring about the destruction of the Big 12 because it makes good financial sense for them. Go ahead, Kay.
Bruce Feldman of The Athletic has just tweeted out, ESPN has released a letter responding to the Big 12's Bob Bowlsby saying, quote, "The accusations you have made are entirely without merit. To be clear, ESPN has engaged in no wrongful contact, and thus there is nothing to cease and desist," end quote.
Yeah, which is what you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's clearly, it's going to be hard to prove that ESPN didn't talk to Texas when they are in bed as business partners in the Longhorn Network. You tell me how they're going to pull that one off. Now, how do you prove when they have to talk to them all the time about the Longhorn Network? How do you prove that anything was nefarious? I don't know. Maybe the Big 12's gotten a hold of some emails, some communications. Who knows? I'll say this, it's a talk show host dream. It's a talk show host dream. It's a story that'll keep on giving. 913-810-810. Pat, you're in the program. What's going on, Pat? Okay, we lost Pat. My bad. Pat, sorry, buddy. We'll be talking more about this progress throughout the day. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I get it. Pat, I see. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Quite clever.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Quite clever.
Not really.
Joke
ever.
But listen, I do think that that's a lawsuit that's going to last a long time, and I think it's something the Big 12 needs to decide, like wherever they're going to go. Like, do you really want to, pick a fight with the network that'll pay the most money for sporting events? Is that really where you want to be?
Yeah.
Are you enhancing your position in the long run if you're picking a fight with ESPN, or are you just making sure you've got an enemy in the network that pays the most money for sports, right? That's the thing you got to figure. We've given away our gift card. We already had one of our listeners come in and say that they were listening to us. We have won it. We'll have more to give away later on. I'll be listening here to Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are live at Hen House today. A lot coming your way. Peter Yates Enoch will join us in a little bit. We will play Stump the Chumps. We'll get some bold and daring predictions. We got Blair Kirkhoff coming up live from training camp. We're going to talk to Chris Klieman, the head coach of the K-State Wildcats. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on. Did he see it coming with Texas and OU on the way out and then his expectations for his Wildcats this year? 913-3810-810, the phone number, 913-3810-810. Come see us here at Hen House. Get back to the meat counter to take advantage. Get some steaks for the grill. Certified Hertford beef or ribeye steaks, 8 ounces, only $8 or $15.99 a pound at Hen House.
The program with Soren Petrov.
You miss? What's that?
It's a lemony garbanzo dip.
You have never seen a football in your life.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are live at Hen House. Come take advantage of great specials. Get the weekend started right. You can come down and check out the fresh 85% lean ground chuck, ground fresh several times each day, just $4.89 a pound. It is the best meat counter in town. In fact, this is one of my meat counters right here at this Hen House here at 119th and Row. And Hen House, of course, one of our proud, proud sponsors of our ESPYs. We were very excited. Again, this year, Sports Radio 810, chosen as one of a handful of stations, as one of the best sports markets in this country to be giving out our own ESPY awards. And today, the winner of our Sports Radio 810 Honorary ESPY for Male KC Metro School Team of the Year was presented by our friends here at Hen House. The title sponsor of that award, the Raymore Peculiar Football Team, was the recipient. Pretty good fan base. They circled the wagons, got after it. Year after losing in the semifinals, the Panthers returned. Coach Sean Martin in his first year, blanking to Smet 23-0 in the state championship game. Class 6 football championships. Coach Martin joins us now. Coach, first of all, congratulations on a great season, and then congratulations on this award.
Well, thank you very much for recognizing our season and really the community and the school and the team. Special year, challenging year.
Yeah.
And, I was really proud of the way the kids and the community came together and just had an outstanding season.
How did you think that you were going to have a football season? Was there a time when you were getting ready to go to come all the way and now be at the next season and looking back on that? I mean, how much did you think you weren't even going to get a chance to play?
We were really just focused on each day. We tried to win each day, and you know, something we hung on to most of the year was just 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, realizing it could come to an end at any time. And we just wanted to be champions that week, and we built that by trying to be champions each day.
First year for you as the head coach. Like, that's not – first years are challenging, right, when you step into a new position, a new role. That's difficult enough to have to battle a pandemic while it's going on and everything that's happening. I mean, how ridiculous was this challenge for you personally?
It was something else. Literally, I was offered the job on a Thursday, and the next day was, I believe, Friday the 13th, and the world kind of came to an end on March Friday the 13th. And luckily, I was able to talk to the kids, being an assistant there at the school, and I was able to visit with the kids, and they knew I was the head coach. And, you know, from that point on, it was a lot of Google meets and that sort of thing with the kids. And, you know, so much credit goes to the kids because they really led themselves that time that we had to be apart. And you know, just those kids that they pulled together, and they were ready when we were able to get back together. And just so proud of the kids and the community.
Yeah, and you know, talent always helps, right? You mentioned the kids, and very talented team, the Simone Award winner at quarterback. That certainly helps. Conrad Holly, right?
Yeah, correct.
And he's in Kansas now.
Yes.
And of course, some familiarity with the kids because you were the defensive coordinator. That had to make the transition at least a little bit easier.
Yeah, it certainly did. I wouldn't have wanted to be somebody going into a new school and then – that day happened in the whole pandemic situation. I was very fortunate. I was familiar with the kids, the families, the community, and we could keep moving forward.
So I'm always intrigued. You know, I there are coaches like I consider Roy Williams as a coach that clearly has a system, and he's going to run that system no matter what. There are other guys like, say, a Bill Belichick, who the system seems to change based upon who he has or who he's playing. I think both ways work. What would you say worked for you guys last year? Did you have something you wanted to do, or was it, you know, a transition to a new kind of scheme each week, or was it a little bit of everything?
We didn't change up a whole lot. We have some things, you know, that we really believe in and stuck to those things and kept working those things. We're very fortunate, like you said. We had a veteran team, and we could kind of build on what we'd done the previous year and just keep moving forward with, like you said, a very talented bunch of kids.
We're talking to RayPec coach Sean Martin. They're the winner of our ESPY Award for the Boys High School Team of the Year, undefeated state championship season for RayPec last year. And did you get on a roll and feel like this is going to be it? You were very good the year before, right? You were in the state semis, so it wasn't like this was a team that didn't know how to win games. But did you start to feel at some point during the year this was a special year?
We felt like going in that we had a chance. But, again, with the uncertainty of the pandemic, we just tried to be 1-0 each week.
Right.
And we knew we were a special group. But something that we really did a good job with, we understood the fine line between winning and losing, good and great, and how close all those games are. And, yeah, the last couple of years, we have won a lot of games. We've won a lot of close games that one play away from going the other way. And, you know, we've lost some games that were one play away. And I think the kids really bought into understanding what a fine line it is and how important doing the little things are.
Yeah, and how did you find out about the award? Did you know you were up for it? Did you know you were a finalist? And
I did see it on Twitter, I think. I saw it on Twitter. I'm not a regular Twitter guy. I happened to look at Twitter, and I saw the ballot and the teams and that sort of thing.
There's not an at Coach Martin, at Coach Martin 52 or something like that?
No.
Well, and then when you find out that you won it, that speaks to, one, the season you had, but also the fan base you had. It took a lot of votes for you guys to win. There's some really good teams in that category.
Yeah,
you guys
absolutely.
To win it.
Absolutely.
That's impressive.
High school athletics is so good in Kansas City, and there are a lot of good teams out there in a lot of different sports.
And so what, onward and upward, back-to-backs? Is that the plan now? Or just trying to be 1-0?
Just trying to be 1-0. Just trying to be 1-0.
The coach speak is there,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
you got it all figured out. Well, Coach Martinet, congratulations. This is great. We're so happy for you, and we're thrilled you're able to get the award. And thanks to our friends here at Hen House for sponsoring. I know how passionate they are about our local high school sports, and I'm glad we get a chance to give you this award.
Well, Soren, thank you, and thank you to Hen House and Sports Radio 810 for all you do for high school athletics in Kansas City.
Thank you very much. Coach John Martin with us here in the program, undefeated last year state champions. We will take a break. Come back. You're in the program.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell, sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what was the last school to have the number one overall pick that had never had a top five pick before that? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.